morning. Today is Friday, July the 10th, 195th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods.
Good morning.
You having fun yet?
Not yet.
Good. We'll talk about what's the source of his smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. As if we wouldn't know otherwise. Right. Our quote this morning comes from Theodore Hesburgh.
Hesburgh.
He's a clergyman.
Okay.
Died about 20 years ago.
Okay.
The very essence of leadership is that you have a vision. You can't blow an uncertain trumpet.
Huh. I like that.
Good.
You don't have anything there about Kenny Stabler since he passed away yesterday, do you?
No.
No, nothing.
I know. I really don't like this coming-of-age garbage.
Yeah, I'm with you.
This really is weak.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, Bart Starr is probably next.
Right.
You know, like, wait a minute. Yeah, it just isn't right.
Yeah, we're getting up there, especially you.
All right, game on. Well, since last we got together, you're into a new fiscal year.
Unfortunately.
You had to make some tough decisions.
Right.
At least internally, it seemed as if it would have been tough decisions. Were they tough, or were they the obvious ones but still difficult to put words to?
They were very difficult to implement, and they're difficult now as we're, you know, really starting our second week of seeing a station closed. We really didn't have an alternative. Our operating budget, you know, not about 88% is employee costs. The rest is equipment, you know, fuel, those types of things. So we didn't really have anywhere to go except to reduce our staffing with eliminating overtime and shutting down a station. But that's been difficult in itself. It's difficult now, again, as we're just starting that and seeing the ramifications with trying to cover our jurisdiction and with the call volume continuing to increase. But really, there was no other place we could go financially.
So as you look at the projection of what this means,
mm-hmm.
is it medical that's going to be the one that really is the area where the impact is felt? Is it fire? What element that you guys do takes the hit?
You know, the day-to-day is the medical, because those are the vast majority of our calls. But now, even in the last week, you know, with four stations and four apparatus instead of five, we've already had instances where all four units are tied up on calls, and we don't have another available in the city and the surrounding district area to cover calls, so we have to bring in help from outside, whether it be Arcata, Lolita from the south. And that's the big concern. When we do have the fire, there's nobody around immediately to get on that fire. And we've been very successful in the past with the five units in being able to quickly get water on the fire, be aggressive, and throw four units at it and put that fire out and still keep one available for the rest of the community. But we just don't have that, and that's the major concern right now.
The backfill.
Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ken Woods. Ken, having four out sounds, I think, to a lot of us uninitiated. Come on, there's never four fires going at the same time.
Yeah, it's not the fires, it's the medicals. You know, perfect example, last week we had a We had a vegetation fire down on the waterfront. We had two engines down there. We had a fire alarm call the other side of town, and we had a medical. So right away, all four units are occupied. They're busy. If we get another fire, they can't just abandon the patient and leave them in the middle of the street, you know. And that's our problem. So we then call on Arcata to come in and cover, but it's a significant time gap to get them into the city when they're responding from Mad River area near the hospital up there to come into town. And obviously time matters, particularly with the medical calls and with fires. And again, I think we've been successful on fires, on being aggressive and getting the number of units there to handle the call quickly and contain the fires and keep them small. But this really puts a crimp in that. And we're looking at, what other options can we use to try to alleviate and try to lessen that risk that we're experiencing right now. We're constantly moving units around to cover where, when we had Station 4 staffed and that unit responding, now with it closed, and then when Station 5 at Redwood Acres goes on the call, we automatically move another unit across town to come over and cover, because that's a huge area that's unprotected.
So as you're looking at the deployment,
right,
is to have a hook and ladder truck,
right,
going to a slip,
yeah,
just kind of seems a little goofy to me. Is that what you're looking at, or are there some other strategies that could be
employed? It is exactly what we're looking at. We are looking at a smaller vehicle that would have the medical capability, that would have a smaller crew. The ladder truck carries a crew of four. We're looking at a squad-type vehicle with a crew of two that we could send to medicals, but yet would have firefighting capability, air packs, hand tools, extinguishers, those types of things, that we could send them to a fire with the fire apparatus. So we have a pump and a tank and a water there.
Yeah, to augment.
Exactly, yeah. And we could still use the crew. So that's what we're looking at closely now.
Now, if you did that, though, where would those smaller rigs live?
We would put the first one down at Station 1, not at Station 4. And,
is that headquarters?
It is.
Oh.
It's headquarters, because that would then give us the ability to cover downtown and not run the ladder truck on the medical calls. And they could get out to Station 4's areas as well.
And that's where most of the medicals are?
Yeah, in that greater area down there. So, that's what we're looking at right now. And actively, our JPA board will have a meeting next week, and we'll be discussing purchasing a used vehicle to try to implement that and put it in service and see how it goes, because this is new ground for us. That Station 4 has been open since 1957, and it's a huge change for the community. And trying to adjust then is a challenge for us.
If you were going to reset the fire stations,
mm-hmm. right,
with the department as it currently
right.
is defined, you wouldn't have them where they are.
No.
Do these little guys give you a chance, theoretically? I mean, if one is good, two is probably better, three is probably best, to reset?
Yeah, it.
Because all obviously, you need is a garage, right?
For these things? It is. You don't need a bigger facility with the kind of space that you would for the normal station. So it gives us, if we had money, the ability to be able to put something out there, and we would put something probably at each end of our district, one downtown and one out either by the Herrick area out there. Our biggest hole is cutting up in that area. That's our longest response times. But we still have to staff for fires, and we still have to be prepared for fires, and that's why we need those fire apparatus that are staffed with a crew that is the right equipment. Again, the tank, the pump, the ladder truck, all those things that can go to a fire when we have them and try to keep them small and get the fire out quickly.
So it's not an either or?
It's not. It's not.
At least for the rolling stock.
Exactly. Yeah.
Does it allow you to more efficiently deploy the man hours?
We've looked somewhat at that, at when do our medical calls occur? Where in town do they occur? Our fires, a lot of them are centered in more so the city jurisdiction than the district, obviously, because of the density, the type of older construction, the Victorians, the risk that's involved there because of that. So we haven't looked at a flexible deployment model for our personnel yet. We're just trying to fill the basic seats right now to keep the stations that we have open and keep them running. But it's something that other departments that are much larger have looked at and are doing things like that, where they know their medical calls are from, you know, 8 to 4 is the bulk of them, and they bring people on for that. But they have, you know, the budgets and the ability to add extra people during those times, and we're not there.
For the foreseeable future.
Correct. Yeah, not at all.
Is it starting to sink in to the community?
Yeah, we're really starting to hear it from the community, particularly we had crews down 4th of July downtown, and they were hearing a lot of concern from folks. We had a lot of support, obviously, but it's getting in.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods. Yeah, the commercial breaks sometimes are more fun.
Yeah, they are. That's where I get all my best ideas. Yeah. From you. From you, of course.
Coming up with weird ideas. Ken, do you have, the cops have done it periodically over the past decades of having, I guess it would be deployment. Mm-hmm. Maps,
right?
You know, where this kind of activity happens, or total responses, or that kind of stuff. Yeah, and the dots and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Do you have one for medical aid?
Yeah, we use it's called a firehouse software reporting, and we enter all of our calls into this system, and we can look and see where our calls are, what type of calls they are, when they occur, you know, what times of day, all those types of things.
So you got the stuff, so you could figure out where to put these. Response vehicles, I guess, would be the simplest working phrase.
Yeah, and again, for us, it's, you know, we staff for the big event, for the fires. So with a limited number of assistance outside our area is our problem, because we need to keep that fire suppression capability. And if we had more help coming from the outside in a quicker time frame, we could probably lessen those fire resources, but that's our problem again. We can't do it here. It's just not, we're not in the Bay Area. You know, we're not in a surrounded by other jurisdictions that have a lot of fire resources.
An island is kind of what.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You could say
that's
yeah.
About it.
Yeah.
Right.
So these two guy response units.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is going to be a bit of a stretch, but say money is not an object.
Okay.
What are you looking, two or three of them?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to start with one, but really two of them would be a real big help for us, because, again, the bulk of our calls are medical calls. They would be busy. They would be responding a lot, but they could handle all those smaller calls.
Are they clustered geographically? Do you see those areas of concentration?
A little further away, you know, either the station downtown Myrtletown area would be one, and then the next area is really over towards the mall, Ocean Henderson, where we have our Station 3. Those are the busiest areas for the medical types of calls that we have. And then we have some Redwood Acres. We have a number of assisted living, skilled nursing facilities that we respond to a lot. And that's really kind of our three pocket areas where a lot of medical calls.
I'm thinking you wouldn't want these to be adjunct to the fire stations that are there. So we kind of defeat the concept a little bit.
Well, if they're running independently, you know, where we still have the firefighting resources that are capable of getting out on a fire and the engine and the truck. Again, we've got to have the water, the tank, and the pump to when we do have a fire. Those are kind of important.
That's yeah. yeah. Right up there with gas in the truck.
Yeah. Those are pretty, pretty good.
Don't forget the gas.
Right, yeah. That's, yeah. We don't want to do that at all.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if you had two other deployment locations.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you five in the area where at least you can get somebody there.
Right. And that's, yeah, totally, if money is no object.
Yeah. the basic scenario there.
That would be a model we would probably go towards. And we're seeing in other communities, for instance, City of Napa has purchased two smaller squad-type units in addition to there, I believe it's five stations. And they're going to be doing that type of deployment. City of Chico is doing a similar type of thing. So it's becoming more prevalent. And, again, as the medical calls go up, but you have to keep those fire resources. You have to be able to respond a number of personnel on a structure fire and get them there on scene quickly to perform all the tasks that need to be done quickly.
Yeah, it kind of seems goofy. On one side, you know you're going to have the medical.
Right.
No doubt. X number a day, and you probably have it within every 90 minutes. You know exactly how many responses.
Right.
The other one's the variable, but the other one's the one that takes the resources.
Those are the big ones. Those are the high-risk, low-frequency events that, you know, we have a structure fire in Old Town. It makes a difference when somebody shows up because it's going to the next building, and the longer you wait, the more potential you have to affect numbers of people, lives, tax revenue, effect on the community, all those kind of things. It's a major concern for us. And couple in the old construction, the closeness of buildings, you know, the problems we've had with the drug, not only marijuana grows and electrical problems, but also now the hash oil refining. We had the explosion down in Fields Landing a week ago. So, you know, we're dealing with a number of types of risks here.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Chief Ken Woods. Ken, a couple quick things. 4th of July, for those that were in the Eureka area.
Right.
There looked like there was some action going on the south side of town.
Yeah, separate show.
Yeah, right. but the race, you know, there's something going on at the racetrack.
Right.
So it could have been them. It could have been goofballs. How was the 4th of July this year?
You know, it wasn't too bad as far as we had a lot of medical calls. We didn't have very many fires. We had a couple of smoldering things from fireworks, but we did have a tremendous amount of illegal fireworks. And that part seems to be getting worse every year. In spite of the drought conditions, you know, across the state, and it's a regular topic, people seem to be more willing to use the illegal fireworks, acquire them, and use them in just blatant ways. You know, we have the bottle rockets, the mortars, the big stuff that's going off. And when we had the show downtown, you know, the city's putting on theirs. And then across town, you see a show just as big going on, and it is equally impressive.
Is that in a residential area, like a neighborhood in the middle of the street kind of thing?
It is. It's in a backyard. It's in the middle of the street. A number of locations where, you know, you have a large amount of fireworks and big stuff going off all at once. And
now, is that Washington, Nevada? Where are those, or is it internet
more
sales?
Mexico, and that are just being sold black market type stuff, you know, that people are buying them in the Bay Area, or some of them are out of state. You know, the Safe and Sane is legal in California in some communities like ours, but the big stuff is coming from, you know, out of the area for sure.
Nobody holding on to fireworks around here?
We didn't have it this year. No, we didn't have the NFL's had a little problem with that lately, but...
Yeah, no frontal lobe, I think, might be what the definition is.
Yeah, that other one,
is.
Too.
Yeah.
thank goodness we didn't have one of those.
Now, since we got together, there was a public exposure of your frustration.
Right.
Indicating that you may not be long for this occupation.
That's correct.
Was that a formal? Was that an... it's a hedging? Was that, here's where I am today? What's the status on that?
It's formal. I am going to leave the end of January. And, you know, we need to keep firefighters on the street. My job is to keep fire stations open. That's what I was hired for, to protect the community. The way the budget situation is with the city, the only way I can do that is to continue to save money, as we've done with consolidation, look for new ways of revenue, but also I've got to deal with what I've got right now, and that's eliminating some positions. And by me going and promoting my assistant chief, Bill Gillespie, that does eliminate a position, and it's savings that we will put back into firefighters on the street and really keeping Station 3 open on Ocean. We can't go down to three stations in this jurisdiction.
So that's what the option is?
That's what the option is, to close another station part of the time. And I don't want to see that happen. I think that's a big mistake for the community. I'm the closest to retirement, and, you know, I'm going to
Nice
I'm
way
go.
Of saying he's the oldest guy, oldest dog in the pack, too. Yeah.
So I'm going to go, and we'll eliminate a position, and it will save money, and we'll use that money to put him back into firefighters that, you know, are – on the rigs, responding on calls in the community, doing what we're here to do.
If revenues are generated between now and then, still gone?
I don't see how we're going to generate that kind of revenue to be able to make a difference. I mean, I'm all ears. I'm open to that. I just don't see it's possible with the city's financial problems.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks. It's fun.
I've heard it delivered that way in the past.
Yeah, I bet.
See you on Monday.